You're in the doghouse. Whoo, whoo. And we're back on the mother of all podcasts. And you're in for a bumpy ride here today. We've got so much to catch up on. How are you doing, Mr. Crane?
I'm very good, Jonjo. Very good indeed. Glad to be back for an episode. We'll try and make this more regular and bring you some bonus episodes as well with guests. So I think we can stick to at least one a month. With some bonus episodes in between, I think.
I'm really hoping we can get Harold Benson on the show. You know, he's
definitely even if it's a solo Jonjo podcast and leading that one, if it has to be. But it's been a very busy time for the two of us since our last show, which God must be nearly seven, well, probably over 7 months ago now.
Is that the date you've got there?
Seven months. Yeah. But we've had
time flies.
Our fans have been demanding our return.
Funny
at least one anyway. So funny, the one fan.
Funny you should say that, because I was in the sauna there before we got banned. Me and my friend from a local gym, Ruskin. Do not recommend that particular gym. Awful place. But we got banned, and my mate, he got banned wrongfully, I might add. And I won't go into too many details. Just not got the time. Really, we're very busy here with this show. But
flights to catch and babies to feed.
I was in the sauna, and this fella said, "I recognise your voice." He said, I said, "Really? You recognise my voice? Yeah. Why would you recognise my voice? I've heard that voice. I listened to a podcast." He said, "It's renowned, one of the very best, the mother of all podcasts." And I said, "Oh, yeah. Well, that's funny you should say that, because that's me and my mate, Matthew Crane. What about you?" That happened to you as well.
Yeah, maybe it was the same fan.
No, but it did happen to you.
To be fair, I had someone at Croxteth Park Run, but that was a while back. This was on our my St. Helens 10K Strava performance. Martin Burkett commented, so I'll give a shout out to Martin there for wanting us back and for tuning into the episodes of the past, us back to talk about our big race together. But I think we should leave that towards the end to make people, you know, listen to everything else.
Yeah, we'll go with the flow. It's the week of the European Masters Championships in Turin. Yeah. How do you pronounce that? Turin.
Yeah.
In Poland. And we'll give a big shout out just to mention a few. We'll probably miss some of these athletes, but Garvin Boyce, Sinead McConnell, Noreen Boner, Kay Byrne, Gary Clare, whom I was training with about 5 years ago. Any more athletes, Matthew?
Yeah, we got a previous guest on the show, Tony O'Brien, is out there, and I think he had a good run in the 800, I think, possibly, and I think he's in the final for the 1500 as well. And Lisa Gawthorne as well, with a local runner to us.
Marvellous. You know, you're only 3 years away, Matthew. Do you see yourself participating in athletics in... You know, when you start to maybe get to a point where you're going slower, would you see yourself continuing? And would you continue with that buzzing watch away, dear me, those awful things. What happened to the traditional Casio? Do you see yourself continuing in athletics?
Definitely. I love it. I think whether I go to the indoors and things like the guys are out there in Turin, but...
Because I was thinking of retiring myself.
You're about 3 years too late, aren't you? Because you should have been there yourself. My question to you is, how come you're over there? But I've heard you've got a flight this evening. Are you heading that way, are you?
Well, I've got the Dunboyne National 10K, and Mark Connolly, coach over in Ireland there, he was suggesting to get involved. Potential, you know, I don't know, medal contender in my age category, you know, a national medal, that would be quite nice. But then it's a fast course, you know, you're up against some of the very best. I think it was one in 28 minutes last time, something. So a PB perhaps as well. So looking forward to that particular race on Sunday. But going back into this European Masters Championships in Turin, You would see yourself doing that, would you?
Yeah, possibly. But I think personally, I fancy when I retire from the marathon and the shorter sort of road race sort of areas, I probably fancy more the ultra scene and taking on the longer distances and, you know, the 50 milers, 100 milers, 24-hour races.
I can't take you seriously with that beard, Matthew. I'm just looking at you there thinking, that used to be me, you know. But very good, yeah. I know, I was thinking of doing an Eric Cantona, you know, just retiring at the top, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'd have to beat you first.
You'd have to beat me. maybe we should get into it then, the elephant in the room, eh? This is actually the first time we've been together.
Yeah, we don't see
much since the 10K. Mm. This is obviously the St. Helens 10K.
Let me now bring in another shout out. We've had a number of shout outs. a gentleman called Paul Tinsley. They call him Tinners at work, and he's been in your stories, but he's bought trainers from you. I don't know if you can recall him. Are you just not nodding your head agreeing?
Oh, no, I do. Yeah. Saw him in Ryman's as well. I think the week of the 10K.
Is that a stationery shop?
Stationery shop, yeah, okay, yeah.
So, handwriting improving. Anyway, Mr. Tinners came up to me and he said to me, it was very flattering actually what he said, so I'm not going to repeat everything. But he mentioned this fight from years ago, and it was Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and he was against I've forgotten his name now. For the listeners listening, some of them will know this. Tommy Hearns, right? And they all remembered this fight, right? It was a fight, you know. And Tommy Hearns got beat. Marvelous Marvin Hagler won, right? And they always remember Tommy Hearns for this event. He got beat, you know. He went on to win lots of world titles, I believe, but they always remembered him from his defeat against this, you know, it was not a great fight, apparently. He said, you're all the lads were saying you're like Tommy Hearns. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? You know, it's lovely.
Yeah.
Tommy Hearns. But I got beat, you know, he got beat. Obviously, different sport and different thing altogether, but I think the point or the feeling from it all is the local energy that you get, you know, because I was in work one day and this fella come over and I said, that Matthew Crane, I knew he was a machine, but I didn't know you could run. And that was nice, you know, because he didn't even know I could run. I can't run really, you know. But so, yes, you want to talk about that? I mean, there's a little introduction to it. What do you want to talk about?
Well, for me, it was great fun. It was great fun. It was my most enjoyable St. Helens 10K, I think, to be able to battle it, to have and to be battling it with you. So I think it was great fun. And I know we've both been building it. Definitely you've been building it anyway. I think you've been sending Tinny round to the shop just to try and stir the... Tinny round to the shop. To stir it beforehand.
Why did he was he in there before?
He kept popping in beforehand. And said, John Joe said he's going to have you at the 10K this year.
Did he say
And, I said, I know he's in good form and I'll only be 2 weeks post-marathon. So we'll see. See how he goes. I said, he talks the big talk, but he's got to come up with form on the day. And I think you performed. You know, you made it really, really tough battle the whole race.
I was happy. You know, I was happy with that performance. I think in my vision, I actually was in the store the day before. You know, trying to
get in my head as well. But I'm strong in the mind. You see, so it's never going to work. I was more chance of me getting in your head.
My head's all over the place. You can easily get inside this head. But I do remember saying to you, I will enter the stadium with you. And you said, I think you'd already said to your partner, I think it was on a previous, that you won't be anywhere near me by the time we enter the stadium. And I do recall you saying that. In my vision, I was in the stadium, you see. I entered the stadium with you.
Yeah.
And then the vision became like a comedy sketch then, because I shoulder barge you. And there's a steward's inquiry, and I get the win, you know. So that wasn't really serious, but the vision in encapsulated me.
If all fairness, my plan was that if you tried to pass me in the stadium, I was going to shoulder barge you out of the way. You weren't coming past. I'm jumping into the race here. I'm jumping in, but once we got to the Steve Prescott Bridge, in my head, I was like, I'm not kicking now. I'm waiting. I'm going to let you kick. If you want to go early, I'll let you go. Mm. And the further we got, and the further we got, and you hadn't kicked yet to try and go past, I thought, right.
Yeah.
I have to be leading as we enter that stadium because it's too narrow for two people.
This was my mistake.
And I thought, as long as I'm in the lead, I can block you on any turn. Any way you try and come past me, I'll block you from coming.
Well, that's a foul, though, isn't it?
Well, no, because
you're not allowed to block people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's no rules against it. I could move to the left. I could move to the right.
I thought that was a disqualification.
Not if I'm in front.
Is that on the track? No.
No, it's not. As long as you don't. As long as if on the track, it's on the inside. So if I was on the outside of you and I cut across you, that would be a foul on the track.
Mm.
But if you were on the outside of me and trying to come past, and I moved out to block you, that's completely legal. Paul Chelimo from America is famous at doing it in the 5,000, the 10,000 meter Olympic trials and World Champs trials. Mm. He just moves out and blocks all the Americans coming right wide. Obviously, you leave yourself open for the inside if you do that. But you know,
I'll be honest with you. I think when I look back at it, as we went over the bridge, I felt okay actually at this point. And I think we were starting to quicken the pace. I think you tried to leave me, I think, through the town itself, the centre of the town. And you really picked it up, you know, the centre of the town.
I think you didn't realise you had a 10-metre gap on me at the on Bishop Road at the bottom of the park. You'd opened a gap on me. After we came down the hill and we were going back and the crowds were coming against us. And you'd opened about 10 metres, 10 yards or so gap.
No, I didn't know it was 10 metres.
And, 10 yeah, yeah, it was a good little gap you'd opened up.
I didn't recall 10 metres.
No, I don't think you realised. Because, you know, because you had people shouting and cheering, you wouldn't have been able to hear me behind properly. Mm. And I don't think you realised it. And in my head there, I was like, I have to get back on you before we turn to City Road because that's a hill. And I know your strength. Cross-country runner, Merseyside champion that we've got to talk about in a minute. But I knew if you had that 10 yards, 10 metres or so on me when we hit City Road, you could make that gap bigger going up City Road and then you could get it bigger going downhill again with the cross-country strength. I had to be right on your shoulder or ahead of you on those bits to then be able to run fast on the flat again. But you were always going to be strong on the hills.
Mm. I think you're very wise not to leave, to allow a gap to open, you know. I mean, that's never going
to... No, but I knew I had to close it on the flat because flat's my strength there. Yeah. Mm. And I knew that, you know, if I'd let in a gap open,
I feel as though, I don't think hills are actually my strength, though. I feel as though I could improve a lot on the hills. I keep telling the coach, Dave Evans, that I feel not really strong enough on the hills. And I think a lot of it's to do with, on a Thursday we have the hill sessions, but because we have that many bloody races at the weekend, we tend to drop the Thursday and just do a steady hour, sometimes locally or whatever, you know. And I feel as though when I'm in these cross-country races, it's certainly against top opposition, I feel myself going backwards on the hills and then I catch them up on the down. You know?
Right,
I think I could improve. But you're right, though. I think cross-country generally make you stronger on the hills, you know.
So
you'd have a general sort of fitness on the hills, wouldn't you, I suppose, yeah. I felt as though when I went down North Road, I went in front of you just to sort of test you again. But then you're going so fast and I didn't want to overcook it. So then you went past me again and then I kind of regalvanized the breathing and stuff. And then I think you started to pick it up through these streets, through the town. And I managed to hold on to you. And then I remember the former president of Sutton, he was on the bridge. President, the form before yourself of St. Helens Sutton, John Irvin, is it?
Are you still the president? John's still
the president. I thought you were the
president. I'm chairman.
Oh, sorry, okay, yeah. So John Irvin, lovely gentleman, there's another shout out. He was on the bridge. I don't know if you had seen it.
Yeah.
And as we went over the bridge, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I felt like okay. But I thought to myself, I just really want to get into the stadium and then have a go at you, really. But then The other thing was, I didn't realise how close we were to entering it, you know.
Yeah.
Because as you, which you should, this is an amateur mistake, you should always work out where the finish is and where
yeah,
you
yeah.
know. You should always have a look at the finish. And I've made this mistake time and time again. And as we approach the stadium, it's like a big sort of, you know, towering wall, isn't it, you know. And as you're running around the stadium, I was expecting it to go on much further around the outside before we entered. And all of a sudden, this fella says, there's water on. I don't know why he said that. There's water on the ground or something.
Yeah, watch the puddles or something.
And there was nowhere near us. It was on the, you know, it was like a, I didn't. And then all of a sudden, you turned in, didn't you?
Yeah.
And I turned in, you know, but it just kind of took me. Yeah, I think I need, and if I was going to have any chance, I needed to get in front, as you say, before we entered the stadium. Because on that sprint to the first corner,
you've
not got much of a chance of getting past there, really.
No, no.
And then, so I was thinking, I knew that myself, so then I was waiting for the final kick, but then you've got that extra yard, and then you really sort of picked it up as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And I tried to pick it up myself.
And we both nearly stumbled on the same spot as well.
I nearly stumbled.
I did as well.
And someone asked the question as to why, and the answer is, it felt, well, my answer would be, it's like a board, it felt like a board that just went down.
Yeah, I think it's like a fake Astro, isn't it, that they put round, you know, to protect the edge of the thing, but it covers like little divots and stuff in there.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
I think we both literally on the video of it, you can see both of us sort of nearly go.
I noticed myself, I could feel it, and I see, you know.
We both nearly go at this, literally the same point, obviously, like me,
a
stride
to
my
left
head.
Knee went down, you know. Down, you know. And when you're tired, I suppose you could go down, but.
Yeah.
And then the other question is, as you cross the line, it says that there's 1 second between us, but was there 1 second? Well, I suppose in the speed, it would be 1 second. But when I was looking at the clock in one of the pictures, it looked like it was 3:07 and you crossed the line.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I couldn't understand where the 3:08 was from. Have you not noticed that? Or is that me? Maybe the picture or something.
Yeah, it could
just
be the angle, couldn't it?
Yeah. The gap looked maybe more than 1 second, but to be honest, I suppose at that kind of pace, maybe it was just a second, or 1.5 seconds, it'd still be a second.
Yeah,
maybe,
still a second. Yeah.
But
I mean, you know, we were both under the previous course record. You know, I mean, that's
which was 31:14.
31:14.
And when did you get that? What year was that created?
That was 2020. No. No, 20...
That was the year I last...
The year after COVID, it was.
The year after COVID?
Was it?
Well, that was the year before.
Yeah, I was training for Manchester Marathon, so... Because I did 2 miles warm-up, 8 miles at 6:10 pace, and then 8 miles at 5:10 pace, and then 2 miles cool-down. And the 8 miles at 5:10 pace were 6.2 of that were part of St. Helens 10K.
And what year was that?
I think that was 2022.
Right, 2022, okay. Right, okay. And you've now officially won it 6 years on the bounce?
Yeah, five or 6 years, yeah.
Well, in the paper it said five.
It said five, I'm not
100%. Have you won it every time you've entered it?
No, well, the first time John Ashcroft beat me, I was second. Yeah.
What year would that have been?
That was 2017.
Out of interest, what would John Ashcroft's fastest time be on that course?
I can't remember if it was. I can't remember if he broke 32, maybe 31:40.
Because he's very, very good runner, isn't he?
He was very, very good runner. Yeah, he's just missed breaking 30. He's like 30:01, 30:02. I would say, if you're in the same shape now as you were for St. Helens 10K, and this is a quick course you're going doing this weekend in the 10K, you should put a sub 30 clocking down.
Sub 30.
I believe if you're in the same shape at 10K,
well,
St. Helens.
What's your best 30:08?
30:08.
So what?
And I ran 31:14.
I beat your best time.
Well, then you've run a quicker time than me, haven't you?
Does that mean I'm officially a better 10K runner?
No, you haven't beat me yet.
So what does it go on then? Does it go on? One-to-one victories, like head-to-head.
I think if you're comparing individuals' performances, I think if you're talking time performances, then obviously it's time.
If I run
on paper,
you don't like that idea.
No, no, on paper, you're efficient. You are faster than me. Yeah, no, that's the way it works.
I'm not yet.
But if you were, then you would be.
So then what would you say? That fella's a better 10K runner than me. Or you wouldn't admit that until
I'd say you're faster.
You'd have to beat you at the same time as 10K.
Yeah, or anything. You'd have to beat me at a 10K where we were running. But
then again, that wouldn't answer any arguments, because you could say, well, that person was that particular pedigree at that time.
Yeah, yeah. It's a
but
tough one.
Over the course of his lifetime, he's actually run a faster time. So then who does it? Isn't it all about times? No.
Well, on paper, yeah. It's the fastest. It's a tough sport that we live in, that we are matched and met on a piece of paper or a website that says this is the times you've run, and that's how we can compare. But, you know, it's the same as, can we compare, you know, the likes of Coe Ovett now to the likes of Josh Kerr and Jake Whiteman
we're the same area, really, aren't we? I don't understand that problem. Like, Jeff Smith's just, Johnny Miller has eclipsed his marathon record.
Yeah.
2:09 by about 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But in common sense terms, you could argue Jeff Smith's time was better because he didn't have the technology, footwear, etc. All these things. Smith, you would argue 2 seconds, he would have run a lot faster. So we don't compare eras. I think that's the idea. It's like George Best as a footballer kicking around a pig's head, and then comparing him to these modern days footballers who are literally kicking around a gas air balloon. You know, it's two different things.
I suppose a better comparison than a more modern day comparison is Josh Kerr and Ingebrigtsen. So Jakob Ingebrigtsen. So Jakob Ingebrigtsen is the world record holder for numerous distances. He's Olympic champion for the 1500 meters, but in last year in the World Champs was beaten by Josh Kerr, and so, you know, in Josh Kerr is the world champion.
Yes.
But Ingebrigtsen is the faster runner.
So what? But I suppose at the end of the career, then you would weigh everything up, and you would say, well, who is the better runner? What would it go on? Would it go on accolades or times?
No, I think if you run the quicker time, you're the faster runner. You can't argue that you're the faster runner.
Right, okay. Really.
Do you know what I mean? Because you are from the same on time.
As long as it's from the same era.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you run faster this weekend, would be the faster runner than me.
Yeah, okay. That's nice. But if you go to different eras, then there's question marks because the technology, etc., trainers, it's hard.
It's difficult to sort of, you it's know, not compare fair to, too much.
And this is why we shouldn't compare different eras. Maybe.
No, and I mean, we do, don't we? But
it's the mistakes people make, but they like to talk about it, you know.
And then,
So you could win all the gold medals for the next 3 Olympics and someone just runs a slightly faster 10K time, and they would say, well, he was a better 10K runner.
Yeah, it's something that I've been discussing quite a lot recently with my coach, and this goes to say about sort of Seville Marathon and things like that, is I've been racing and training to a degree in the way that a lot of marathon runners do, and a lot of runners do these days, to be fair, which is to time trial. You know, you want to achieve a time, and you go out, you put yourself in a fast race and a fast field, and you hopefully get dragged to a quick time. And for the majority of runners, that works perfectly. You know, it works for them. But I've realized, listening to a couple interviews with other athletes and thinking about it more and the races I've been in, is that it doesn't work for me. I'm not a time trialer. I'm a racer. The most fun I've had racing, probably in the last 12 months, if not longer, was St. Helens 10K, because I got to race, you know, and the time, for St. Helens is a quick time for St. Helens course, because it is a tough one. But obviously it's a long way off it was a PB for yourself, actually, to be fair, on a course, but I think you'll go a lot faster this weekend if the fitness and training has gone well since then. You know, for me, I know that the year I broke the course record, I ran 30:08. So to then go faster than that says to me that I'm in better shape than I was then. And you know, to know as well that my marathon was 2 weeks prior and I'd done a session the day before and things like that. I know there's, you know, there was more I could have had on that day if I'd been, you know, ready for it and prepping for it, sort of thing. In that was the sole focus. So to know I was in that shape says, you know, if I could get on a good course and stuff, and if I wasn't focused on Manchester Marathon, then, you know, I know that a PB could really come, and maybe that sub 30 that I've wanted. So, you know, that's something for the summer anyway, is to focus on the shorter distances and really sort of see what we can do at them. But yeah, I'm training for Manchester at the moment. So, you know, I know your performance was fantastic. It was an outright PB. As I say, I think definitely this weekend, if your fitness is there from that, this, you know, even at the same level, if you've made no gains, I think you're going to be knocking on the door of 30, definitely, pal. And, you know, I mean, again, that was why I loved that race so much, was that it was a race. It was competing. You know, we knew each other. We knew our strengths and our weaknesses. And I know the whole, once I knew it was you behind me, because I know for a start I was really pleased that you were sensible at the start, and you started off letting me go and letting Paul chase me, because I think Paul Howard, who finished third, St. Helens Strider, who's out on an absolutely fantastic roll of performances, got a little carried away with thinking that he could go off with me, from where his PBs were and things like that.
Why do you do that though? Why do you go off like a lunatic?
I mean, to be fair, I haven't done for a long time, because Alison, my coach, has trained me not to. I think at St. Helens, I knew one that my biggest challenge was going to be you. And
I don't think you see me as a serious threat, though.
Oh, I did, definitely. No, really?
I didn't expect you to think.
Oh, no.
You probably think you'd get a minute on me, half 30 seconds on
no,
me.
No, I knew the shape you were in. The times you've been putting out on 5Ks and park runs and stuff showed, you know, the fitness was there.
I've not done many performances, though.
You haven't done too many, but the ones you had done were real quality. You know, you'd put a St. Helens park run on under 16 minutes for the first time, which, you know, is easily worth on a flat course in a real 5K race is a sub 15. So to know you're in 14 something shape, I knew you're in good form, and I know you're working on, you know, you won the Merseyside County Champs cross country. You're working on the shorter stuff. You know, I've been very marathon focused. I haven't stepped on the track since last summer. So I know my weakness at the moment is probably my top end speed, my sharpness. And I know over a 10K, we're meeting in the middle a little bit. It's on the longer side for you. It's on the shorter side for me. And if you were with me, I knew my best strength was going to be to try and win it from the start, get off hard, get a gap on you, and hope that you don't close back up to me. And that's why I needed to be in front of you at the stadium, because I thought if you can be in front of me in the stadium, one, I'm going to have a hard challenge to get past you, but two, I think you're going to have the flat speed to not allow me to get past you as well. Whereas if I knew I was in front, I could maybe just hold you out. Plus, being slightly bulkier than you and chunkier, I could make sure that I get my elbows out and stop you from getting past me in the narrowness of that stadium. So that's why I went off hard at St. Helens. And when I saw it was Paul with me, I thought, well, you know, Paul could have a really good run. I know a marathon in my legs was two weeks prior, so there's a little bit of tiredness there, and I'm thinking, you know, actually Paul is running as well as he is, could be a challenger. Maybe I've underthought about him, sort of thing, and underestimated him is the word. So I thought, well, I know what I can do is, I know the pace I was running at, I can hold this for this first K, and it's not going to do me too much damage because I'm used to doing it. But I think Paul's about to write himself off if he sustains this, which is sort of what he did, in terms of, I think he probably could have been a lot closer to us if he hadn't have run as hard. If he'd have run with you for the first bit and then closed up, I think he'd have been a lot closer by the end.
I just thought, I'll run my own race, you know.
And that's what you needed to do. Mm. But I'm glad you did that, because in the past you wouldn't have done. So, you know, that's that growth and development in your training, to know, you know, let Matthew do his own thing and I'll do mine.
It takes 10 years, Matthew. Yeah. I think when I get to 40, I think I might get to my best. And then there'll be a decline, maybe, certainly 45. Certainly, I think that'll be it then. It'll start to, if I'm lucky, you know. But I think it does take 10 years. I mean, I started this malarkey at about 29, 30 years of age. I'm just turned 38. And I've still got a lot to learn. But,
I want to hear from you now, John Joe. I want to hear about the Merseyside Cross Country Championships, because, you know, that's something that I know has been a goal of yours for a couple of years, that it's escaped you, that, you know, fitness has dropped. The other year when I ran it, you know, I expected you to be the big challenger there, and then you were ill and couldn't compete, and, you know, you've been there and battling in the fifth places and fourth places and you know, scraping into the inter-counties team, you know, in your first sort of time, you know, sort of doing it and things like that, running in your pink hat at Shirley Park, finishing just behind me there. And, you know, I sort of...
An 11th place, something
11th
like that.
So, yeah, you know, we drop out to making the inter-counties team. But now the Merseyside champion, the Merseyside cross-country champion... You know, I want to hear about that race, and I know you got into a lot of trouble as well. You upset the Liverpool Harriers crowds a little bit in that race. And I don't know whether you want to go into any details there or not. Maybe you don't want to upset them anymore. But you know, come on, tell us about that race. Tell us about taking that title for the first time.
I don't recall any of this that you talk about.
It's all talk before the podcast, people. It quiets down once we're going.
But... I think my best ever position in that race was fifth, I think, you know. And thanks to Dave Evans and his sessions and his coaching one-to-one, his 100% committed, you know, he's there every session, he's at the races without fail, very rarely misses anything, you know. And you need that, you know, you need that. And it was a good battle. It was a good close fought contest. There were some people on the sidelines who, I think it was a gaggle of geese, to be honest, who in many ways thought your man had the upper hand and had led it for so long, you know. And every credit to the gentleman that finished second. But, you know, there was a point there where I think his supporters thought that he had it won, and it wasn't to be. And yes, I did get a bit emotional at the finish, but why not? You know, because if you're a footballer and you score a goal and you've seen these big softies on the telly, they score a goal and they fall over and they jump up and down like they've won the pools, then why can't I do that once in a while, you know? So, yeah, why not?
Dylan!
it was a good race. It was a hard-fought contest. And, you know, I was delighted to win by 3 seconds, and that was all that was in it. And, you know, you get a bit emotional. You know, why not? I don't see any problems with that, really. I've got nothing to apologise for. Nothing whatsoever. I won the race. The best man won. And I'm sure one day your man might get the better of me, you know. In fact, he has done in the past. But nevertheless, in victory... Why the hell not celebrate, you know? Why the hell not celebrate, Matthew?
Yeah, well, talking of emotions, you know, there was an emotional moment after the St. Helens 10K, and I feel like I've watched this clip back, and it lasts for 30 seconds, you know? This was if I was in the crowd, I think I'd be pretty awkward. To be fair, I felt pretty awkward as it carried on, until I realised why our hug was still ongoing at the end of St. Helens 10K. Because you couldn't stand up any longer and you were just holding on to me so you didn't fall over. And I for a second, it kept going that long, I was thinking, bloody hell, is he about to kiss me here or something? Why are we still embraced? What's going on? And I tried to let go of you, I noticed that you held on longer because you were about to fall over, and you were holding yourself up.
No, I agree. That was... I really enjoyed the competition with you, and I think it brought something to the event. The local supporters, you know, the people that we both know and love, and they were all there and they enjoyed it, you know, because that's what that was missing, you know, and it was missing a competition. You would generally run away with that race.
Oh yeah,
2-3 minutes. So it was a great battle, and you know, I was just happy, to be honest, and maybe that's where my vision could have been improved. I should have had a vision of winning the race, maybe more so. My vision was more or less to have a competition, to create a competition, be a part of a competition, and to enter the stadium, you know. I was very happy with that. And as a good friend, you know, there was no real disappointment. I mean, well, on reflection, I suppose, yeah, a little bit more, you know. But, you know, I was very happy because we put on a show, you know, and that's what the people want. They want entertainment. And what is entertainment? It's competition.
It is.
And that's what a lot of these things are missing, you know. And when we go back to the episode with your charming mate, Mr. Rothwell, you know, he talks about competition not being interested. He doesn't care, you know. Well, listen, mate, I do care about competition. And I think when you look at that race, you'll realise that there's an awful lot of people that do care and they want to see more of this.
And that's it. And that's, as I say, for me, the likes of Seville Marathon, it wasn't a competition because I managed to scrape the top 100 there. I would have been a little higher having not been knocked down by three old ladies.
I thought you knocked them down.
Well, I knocked one of them down, yeah, but there was because they walked into the path at 38 kilometers into the marathon with 4k to go, and yeah, took me out. So you know, but I think up to about 28k, I'd had a couple of British lads just a little bit further up the road that I'd sort of in my head was like, right, my competition is there, and like, let's get them, you know, and track them and go past them. And once I'd passed them, the competition angle sort of left me a little bit, and I was like, oh, now I'm just running for a time. And whereas in St. Helens, you know, we were racing all the way. It was a battle. I was determined. There was no way I was letting you win, you know what I mean? And I think I've said to you before, you know, with the best of mates, and love you to bits, and I was, you know, so happy for your performance on the day and things like that. But when you're on the start line, you know, as soon as that gun goes, everyone on that start line is your enemy. And you know, you will kill. Do you know what I mean? To win.
I've become, you know, very focused on my own performance, so I forget about the others on the start line to some extent. And as long as I can create the environment where I can give my best and do my best on the day, then hopefully maybe something might happen, and I'll walk away. I'll be happy enough, you know, and. That's where I'm getting to in my mentality. I was disappointed Tom Chadwick didn't race the event because he's done an awful lot of sessions with me and Dave Evans's group there, and I've got a lot of time for Mr. Chadwick, and in a lot of these sessions he would have been ahead of me in the sessions, you know. So I would have said to Tom, really, you know, if you enter this race, you know, you should. It's got to be in that. You've got to believe it, though. You've got to have it in your mind, you know, and be experienced. I think it's a process that takes time. That, you know, Tom could well win that race. He'd be well capable, but he decided, as a part of his club ethos, to sit back and run a 40 minutes or whatever it was, you know. And I don't agree with that, but at the same time, I understand he's preparing for a marathon, and he's just run 14:57 for 5k, which is a new St. Helens Strider record, and I'm delighted actually for him in regards to that. Yeah. Sorry, Matthew, I'm getting very tired now.
Very sad.
But so there we go. Any more?
A quick one. What do you think? It's not really a quick one, is it? But what has changed? Because obviously you'd gone from, you were doing 3 days a week of running and a lot of sort of strength and conditioning work,
Oh, he wants to know all my secrets now.
And what do you think is now... what have you now added to that formula to start to increase again? You know?
The great thing about my recipe is no one knows about it because I'm not on Strava. I'm completely off the grid. Will you not agree in that regard?
You are completely off the grid. This is the most on the grid you get.
But then I come on this thing, you know, and tell everybody, you know, my business. But it's nice being off the grid. I would recommend it. I would like to be even further off the grid in many ways, you know. Social media and all that palaver. I think off the grid is where ordinary humanity is, you know. That's where we should be. But it's very hard, you know, you want to keep updated with races. What's the next race? Who's doing this? Who's doing that? You know, it has a means maybe, you know. But in regards to my training, I will update you on the next podcast. I will go into more details as to what is going on in this world. But I'm quite happy to talk about the actual races. And I think we've gone through all of that, haven't we? Really?
Yeah, you've got your 10K this weekend. Have you got anything else on the cards?
Yes, the following weekend, I'll be doing the Ballyliffin Coastal Challenge, which is more or less where my father's from, not far away. And that would be more of like a local event where you'd want to go, because that would be like the St. Helens 10K, really. Yeah. You know, and it's something that got it was cancelled in 2020. Sonia O'Sullivan.
I was gonna come and do it, wasn't I, with you? I think.
You may well have been 2020, yes.
We did Patsy send T-shirts.
He did, yeah. We got the T-shirts, but we sadly never happened the event. But so that's the event. You know, it's the week after, and then we're gonna drop down. Actually, we're gonna go to 1500 meters.
Nice.
This is the coach. The coach, his wishes. Yeah. I would be like, to be honest, I would like to maybe. I respect the coach. That's what he wants. I've got it. It's about give and take. He wants to go sub 4, like 3:55.
Yeah.
Which my best is only 4:07.
Yeah.
So it's a big ask, you know, for someone of my age. And I think maybe if I did go sub 4, it would put me right up there, you know, in my age category.
Mm.
In the country, I imagine, for 1500 metres. But it's a challenge. Doesn't mean I can't run five. I'll be more like a 5K runner
for the time being.
Well,
Eamon Coughlin would train for the 5K, wouldn't he, and race the mile. That was always his.
Yeah, so Dave said that. 5K, you'll be like a 5K runner, but he wants to bring me down to this 1500. I'd like to do a mile race. If you've got any events that you're aware of, please send them to me. You know, because I've never raced a mile. And it'd be nice to have a time for that.
Well, there's the Manchester one.
When is that?
Sports City.
When is that, Matt?
It's usually quite early on. That's the only problem with that.
Right, okay.
End of May time, maybe early June, possibly.
Okay. And anybody?
I mean, Wavertree usually put one on. Liverpool Harriers usually put one at their open meeting, but it's obviously windy on that track.
Right, yeah. And is that Manchester one open to any?
Yeah, everyone, Manchester Harriers host that one. And there's a big cup for the fastest mile of the day. A big historic event. Mm. Then obviously the British Milers Club are putting on quite a few actually this year because it's so many years from Roger Bannister's first sub 4. Can't remember which anniversary it is, but they've got quite a few on, I think, as well.
But I'm not in the British Milers, but is that for everybody?
Are you part of the Irish Milers?
No. You've got to reach a certain
standard.
Yeah. And I don't know.
You might have hit it over 5K. I don't know.
Yeah. But then it's not recent enough, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Well, it's been, what did we used to say? It's been marvellous. It's been marvellous. I really enjoyed catching up with you, Matthew. And finally, though, what you're looking forward to? What's your next?
Manchester Marathon's the big one. I did Liverpool Half, obviously, last weekend.
Congratulations on that. Yeah.
Thank you. I got another good battle with him.
He got some...
a stitch at 10 miles.
But then someone said to me, I know Ian's a keen listener of the show, if you get those kind of cramps, does that mean you're running too fast?
I think for
not
me...
Not necessarily, but, you know...
For me, I was running marathon pace for it. So I finished in 68, which is what I'm planning to go through halfway in my marathon.
Yeah.
And what I went through halfway in Seville.
Yeah.
I'd gone off relatively hard and then settled. And then I thought, if anyone's going to catch me, they're going to have to work hard to catch me. And once I knew it was Ian, because his friends and family were around Sefton Park and were shouting for him, I knew it was Ian. I thought, right, I know for a fact that Ian's having to work close to his personal best territory here to catch me. And we warmed down together and I said, you've got to show me your splits, because I know for a fact you've put some quick miles in the middle there to catch up with me. Which could be, he told me he got a bad stitch in his session on Thursday, and he thinks it was still from that. So I think that was where that came from. But I know he was working at a high capacity, and I said to him after, I said, in my head, I was running the pace I needed to run for the session, which was marathon pace, and I knew for a fact that if it came to the final 400 meters or so, I'd win on the final sprint there.
So going forward, the Manchester Marathon and anything else in the calendar?
I'm going to Wales this weekend and doing Colwyn Bay Metric Marathon again as part of my training. I've got
one more question. I mean, I've noticed you're doing a lot of races. Would there be an argument to say that you're over racing?
So the races I'm doing is all at marathon pace. I'm using them as training sessions. My coach would have me do the marathon pace sessions normally, but what we realised is because I'm a racer and not a time trialer, it's actually when I go out and we just, it's just me running them on my own, doing a time trial somewhere, the motivation to do it, everything is lower, and I find it harder.
What happens when you're running at marathon pace and someone goes past you?
Well, we've realised, because obviously last year Liverpool Half was the same thing and I had to let them go and I hated it. It did my head in for months after it was there. One of the reasons I decided I wanted to go back this time was to set that right.
So if Ian Lawton had gone past you this time, would you have let him go?
I was going to race it if he had gone past me, but I knew the pace. Last time round, my pace was slower than it is this time round for my marathon. So I knew last year I had to let them go because they were going far too fast. Whereas
he run last time?
Last time he ran 67:30. My marathon pace is between 67:30 and 68 minutes, somewhere anywhere between there.
And you ran 68:04,
so a little bit off.
Okay.
But the course is a lot hillier than Manchester is. Manchester's a fast, flat course, and Liverpool isn't. So if I had to race it, I would have done. And I did race it because me and Ian were battling it out and I kept trying to put little bursts in to shake him off and things like that. But I knew that at the pace we were running at, that was fine to do because I was just trying to run.
You like doing these surges, don't you?
Yeah, it's a good test. It tests people out and sees if they're... You try and get into their mind a little bit, whether they can keep up with it, whether they can do it, whether you make them run a little bit harder than they want to run, and that gets them then. As long as you're, it doesn't get you. That's the only risk of doing it. So I'm going doing Colwyn Bay. It's a 16 miler. I'm meant to do 18 miles, so I'll do a couple of miles beforehand, the same as I did at Liverpool. I did 3K at marathon pace before the race as well. So that'll be that, and then Manchester will be 2 weeks to go then. So it'll be taper time.
Well, the very best of luck, Matthew. I hope you do very well.
Thanks, pal. And I'm looking forward to hearing a big 10K PB off you this weekend, and hopefully a sub 30 clocking. I expect it's capable. Definitely, you're capable of it. The conditions and stuff that is obviously, and how you've been training is what it's going to come down to. But it's been marvellous, John Joe.
It's been marvellous. Thank you.